certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him the living. He gave him his inheritance right then and there. It says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. Anybody ever waste your substance that God has blessed you with on anything other than the things of God? Whew, whoa. Okay, next verse. And he says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He began to be lacking. He began to have needs. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, to feed the pigs. Now that's an interesting little job for a Jew, right? To be sent into the country to feed the pigs, you know, to feed that which is unclean to your teaching. You're feeding them. And he says, and he would have feigned to have filled his belly with the husk that the wine did eat, that the swine did eat. And no man gave to him. In other words, he was so hungry, he started to eat the stuff that he was feeding the pigs, you know. It says, and when he came to himself, and he said, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise. Do you see that? What's the first two words there? I will. I will. Jesus frequently said to people when he wanted to touch them and heal them, he says, will you be made whole? Will you be saved? Will you receive? Will you open the door? You know, what does it say? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and find safety. They will. They go. They leave. They run into it. You know, that's referring to when a city is being attacked. They run into the tower. They run into the walled city. They run into the castle or whatever it is. And it's talking about where there's a wall to protect you. But this is the wall of the Lord. This is the protection of the Lord. What do you think happened if they were attacked and they just, Where's that wall city again? Oh, there it is. Where's that tower? No, you got to run into it. Run to the Lord. Don't walk. Don't dilly-dally. Whenever troubles come, run to Jesus. Now, thank God if you like this prodigal son, waited till you were in the pit feeding the pigs. That's okay. That's all right. Run to him then. But you can run to him a lot sooner, you know. Then the enemy won't overtake you. You dilly-dally, you could be in trouble. Hello? He says, I will arise. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, he's rehearsing this now, Father, I have sinned against heaven. And that's one of the most important things about repentance there is realizing that when your sin of your going your own way is first of all against God, against heaven. I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. And he says, and the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven. Just as he said, he was going, told himself he was going, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said unto the servants, bring forth the best robe and put on him and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. He didn't even have his shoes left. All right. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Look at this verse. This is, it says, for my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost. That word lost is an interesting word. If you want to know what the Greek is, I got it written somewhere. I don't know what I did with it. Yeah, it's right here. It's opalomi. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing this correctly. Just so if you like this Greek stuff, it's A-P-O-L-L-U-M-I. What a long Greek word for the simple word like lost. You know, that'd be simple. You know what's interesting about this word, though? It is also found in John 3:16. John 3:16, this word opalomi is found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It means, and that's that word perish, is this word opalomi. You know? It means, and one of the things is, one of the definitions, if you look in a Greek dictionary, one of the definitions is lost, or of has lost oneself. You know? He's lost his way. It's like a sheep that's lost from a shepherd. He's lost his way, and because he's lost his way, he is living a perished life. You know, he's living a life of death. He's chosen death instead of life. He's chosen cursing instead of blessing. All right? Hello? Amen. Okay, so he says, my son was dead, and he's alive again. Now, we could go on and talk about the second son. And I will someday, all right? There's a lot of important things in that too, but I want to go on to get to the subject matter of today. Notice it says, I will do this. When he came to himself, I will do this. I will. You find that term hundreds of times in the Bible. I will do this. I shall do this. Not always is it a blessing. All right, now let's go on. Next chapter. This is Luke 12:16. This is another parable, and this is where somebody says, I will do something, but it's not of God, okay? He says this is that rich man that goes, finds his safety in a strong his strong tower in his wealth, okay? And he says this, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? What will I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater ones. And there I will bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Boy, notice the similarity between the prodigal son and the coming back to the father, the eating, drinking, and being merry. But in this particular case, he has a different, his perspective is a rich man's wealth that he's running into, not back to the father. Hello? It says, but God said unto him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then those things be which thou hast provided. In other words, it's going to go to somebody else. You know, it's kind of like the one rich man who died and left a will, and he had a very large family that he hadn't seen in a good long period. But they came together for the will because he was a real rich man. And so at the reading of the will, he says, John Doe, being of sound mind and body, spent it all. So have fun. He wasn't about to leave his money to an ungrateful family like that. But here's a guy, he says, his riches is his tower. And he says, you fool. You know, this night, God requires of you your soul. So there's an I will, but that's an I will in the other direction. Hello? Amen. Okay, next one, next verse. Oh, well, I didn't mean, sorry. I was going to go into the next set, but let's read this one. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, God wants us to be wise and work and save and things of this thing, but don't trust in them. Don't trust in them. You know what you do to not trust in your riches? You know, buy gold. That's what, you see it on television all the time. Buy gold. This will give you the security against all these other things that may go wrong. Wrong. Now, I don't care if you've got gold. That's okay. That's all right. But I'll tell you what, you cannot trust in the dollar bill. Hello? Next set of verses. Go to now. Here's one, James 4, that says this, almost the same thing in the book of James. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, you know not what shall tomorrow bring. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You see? Choosing life is aligning yourself with the Lord's will. To know his will, you gotta look into God's word. All right, let's look at another I will. Next one, the next set of scriptures. This is out of Joshua 24. And this is after they had gone in to possess the promised land. And Joshua is talking to the people. And a lot of the people are murmuring about, you know, the way things are going and this, that, and the other. And then Joshua makes this statement. He says, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord. Now, that means evil. It doesn't mean like serving God is evil. It means it's the wrong thing to do. You know, if it seems wrong to you to walk God's way, to go God's way, to do it God's way, he says, if it's wrong to you to do it God's way, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. Right, now that's talking about the gods, the flood that they're talking about was on the other side of the parting of the Red Sea in Egypt. You see, the gods, because what happened was, is when God saved the children of Israel out of Egypt, many of them were worshiping Egyptian gods at that point. And he says, are you going to serve the gods that were on the other side, was the Egyptians served? And he says, whether the gods which your father served that was on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Is that who you want to serve? You choose this day. Choose you this day. Your own wealth, your own riches, your own ability. Choose you this day. It's your choice. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is what Jesus says. You choose you this day whom you want. But as for me and my house, we choose the Lord. Hello? I know there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible. Faith is believing in spite of the way things see. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Faith is believing something. It's like we've been talking about where Father Abraham was walking the same steps as Father Abraham in Romans 4 about how he called things which be not as though they were. He stood before God and called himself Abraham, even though he hadn't had any children, and Abraham means father of many children. And he stood before God, and he called himself what God said was about him, even when it didn't look like that was anywhere near the truth. Hello? And here's one of these truths, all right? Did you know that in the scriptures, God has this thing? If he saved you, then there is, according to 1 Corinthians, there is a sanctification, not only on you, but on your whole family. All right? And you know what that means? God is God. Your family is marked by God. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. You know, there was a time when I got saved that I spent a good deal, good portion of time on my knees giving my children to the Lord. You know, and I gave them to the Lord. I says, they're yours, God. I'll accept the responsibility of, doing what you want me to do, bring up the children, nurture and admonition, but they're yours. God, your choice, and you can believe for this, your choice of life extends to your whole family. That doesn't mean that you're automatically saved. It just means God has got his covering over them, and they're marked for it. Hello? Believe it. Believe it. When Paul and Silas was in Philippi, and the magistrates began to command them to stop preaching about this Jesus, and they threw him into prison. They beat him. They beat him. They whipped him. And they threw him into the dungeon. They put him in stocks in the deepest part of the jail. And at midnight, Paul and Silas began to praise and worship God. And there was this like this earthquake thing. And the jail doors came open. And the stocks fell off of them. And it says that the jailer had been asleep. And he woke up and he saw the jail doors open, and he goes, because in those days, if you were a jailer, you were responsible. If somebody escaped and they had, let's say, 2 years left on their prison sentence, you did it. They put you in to do their time. So that's why they put, you know, them in the deepest part of the dungeon, because they were really serious about making sure nothing happened, that they didn't escape. So the jailer wakes up and sees the doors open, and all he sees is the open doors open. He's going to kill himself. And Paul says, don't kill yourself. We're still here. And he's like, what? You're still there? And he was so moved that Paul reached out to him and the guy cleaned his wounds, and Paul led him to Jesus. And Paul says to him, to the jailer at Philippi, you shall be saved and all your house. Wow, and all your house. It's like when Cornelius received Christ, him and all of his house and all of his servants. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when Rahab, the harlot, was helped the spies that came into Jericho, and they told her to put out a scarlet thread, red thread, represents the blood of Jesus. She said, have your whole family there. And, you know, I can just imagine what it was like to see the walls come tumbling down and the buildings come tumbling down in one apartment standing there with all her family in it. See, God has a mark. Now, you say, well, you don't know my family. Yeah, well, let God be true and every man a liar. If it doesn't look like your family is, and I remember a story. How many of you go back 30 years and remember a singer that had some great songs called Bill Moyers? Remember Bill Moyers? Bill Moyers was had beautiful songs of the Lord. He had been a professional singer, and he had sang in nightclubs for many, many, many years. And Bill Moyers' dad was a preacher, was a pastor. And he had forsaken, Bill Moyers had just totally went the way of the world. And anyway, his father was a preacher. His father passed away, and a short time later, Bill came to Jesus, and he gave his life to the Lord. And He asked somebody, I wish my father had lived to see this. And they said, are you serious? And he says, what do you mean? He says, your father did live to see this. He says, No, he passed away several years ago. He didn't see this. Oh, yes, he did. He said, my father, come to find out, had given me to Jesus. And as far as he was concerned, it was a done deal. Seeing it come to pass wouldn't have made him any happier than he already was, because he had it in his heart, the faith in his heart, that his son was going to be saved. And he says, I've given him to Jesus, and it's going to happen. It has happened. I call things which be not as though they were, and I believe for it. You know? And it did. And God really brought him in. God, that's one of the things about choosing the things of the Lord that you can believe for. And I know every one of us in this room have probably thought of some people that we're just thinking, I don't know about them. And I believe so strongly, honestly, I believe so strongly myself that if someone passes away in my family that I didn't know or didn't experience or didn't see them come to the Lord, I believe they did sometime. I just know it. You know, because I know that God promised that to me. All the promises of God are in Christ, yes and amen. And choose life that both you and your seed may live. Hello? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a choice. Now, if you've been choosing things of the world, they get a foothold on you, they get a grip in your life, and sometimes it's a fight to go the other direction. Fight the good fight of faith, it talks about. You know, and you have to, you need fellowship. You need prayer. You need, we're not in this alone. We need to fight him together. We need to, that's one of the number one things of people that are involved in substance abuse. They need the support group. They need one another. So it's not just a matter of choice, but it starts with a matter of choice. Hello? I stand at the door and knock. If you'll just get up and open the door, I'll come in and I will sup with you. And this isn't a one-time thing. This is an everyday type thing. Hello? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we don't want to be unprofitable servants. We don't want to be made to do anything. We want to choose to do it as your dear children. And you have chosen us. Your hand is upon us. Now you set before us the right way. And Lord, we can't choose it without your help. We can't walk it. We can't do it without your power of your spirit, without the power of your word. And we need that. But you're not going to violate our free will. It is our choice. And we just submit ourselves to you right now to make those choices, to choose life. We choose life. That both we and our children shall live. We believe for our families right now, each and every one of them, that your hand is upon, you've set them apart for you. They're earmarked for God, for you, Heavenly Father. We trust in that. In mighty name of Jesus, amen.